Okay. Well, good morning once again. And the scripture for this morning starts with the scripture, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." We know that is part of the prayer that Jesus taught to the disciples. We always focus on this word, "your kingdom come," and boy, do we ever pray for that. But we're sometimes a little hesitant to say, well, "your will be done." Your will be done. You know, sometimes knowing God's will in every situation is sometimes a mystery. What is God's will? Is letting God lead all of the decisions in our life? Is it a total surrendering to God? Is it trusting in God? He is the divine sovereign. He is control and does control what is happening in our world and has been happening since its creation. Is saying, "let God be God," mean "let your will be done"? How do we know what is God's will? We've seen God's will take place in the life of many other people. We've seen how his will impacted Abraham and Joshua, Isaiah, Moses, Paul, and of course Jesus Christ himself. We see how God's will has impacted nations. It's recorded for us in history in the Bible, but we see what's happening in our world today, and we look all around us and we're saying, is all this really God's will? He's been in control of nations for thousands of years. And what about God's will in our own personal lives? How is that impacted? How many times have you gone to God in a troubled situation and said, "God, let your will be done"? Have you ever said, "let your will be done, and I'll accept that will no matter the consequences"? That's what we're saying. We're saying, "let your will be done." We're instructed in the book of Ephesians in chapter 5, verse 17, where Paul says to the Ephesians at the time, "don't be foolish, but understand." He says, "understand what the Lord's will is." Eric Liddell, I like reading his book, The Christian Discipline of a Christian Life. Of course, Eric Liddell, we know him from Chariots of Fire, right? He was the... I don't need to go into his life. We talked about that once before. I hope you remember. But he quotes and he says, "look, I believe in the Holy Spirit who is able to guide my life so that I may know God's will. And I'm prepared to allow him to guide and control my life." Are you prepared to allow God to guide you and control your life? It's tough. It's tough. So now I'm going to ask a bigger question. How should we understand God's will for our church? The people in this room, what is God's will for us? We had a meeting at the beginning of the week. Well, let me just summarize a few things. We are an aging church. Look around us. We're an aging church. 5 years from now, some of us will be 80 years old or older. And yet we have young families and youth. There's this huge generational gap between the youth and the majority of those who come to church each Sunday. So what should be done? Should we keep on going as we have in the past 5 years? Because in 5 years from now, many who are pillars in our church today, many who have served on a regular basis, may not be able to do so. And most likely the youth that are in our church today probably would need to seek somewhere else for their spiritual needs. Maybe we haven't been feeding them the spiritual, feeding those needs well. How should we as a church continue to serve our community? What is God's will for our church, and how can we follow it? Is it His will that we start a youth ministry? A ministry directed at young families in the area who are struggling in this very chaotic and stress-filled world? Do we need to attract a pastor who has a family and can relate to the needs of the current generation? How do we know what God wants us to do and how He wants us to serve in this area? Will this church, which will be celebrating its 190th anniversary in a couple of months, be celebrating its 200th? The board met on this topic last week, and we determined we don't know. We don't know the answer right now. We do know that there is a lot to be done, and there are things that we are not doing in serving. We decided that we need to know God's will, and it can only be done by doing some of the following. In fact, when we were having our meeting, unfortunately, one of the people who was at that meeting, John DeGrace, who, by the way, celebrated his 80th birthday yesterday, right? He said, pray. He said, pray. You see, there is this power of prayer that if we use this power that we have been given, we can ask God to intervene and show us His will. In 1 John chapter 5, bear with me as I read. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Okay, let's be reminded. We have been called, we receive the Holy Spirit, we have been given this gift of eternal life. And that in that, he says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything according to what? If we ask anything according to His will, He will hear us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, and we know that we have what, and we know that we have what we asked of Him. What are we asking of Him? We're asking of Him to show us His will for the future of this church, God's church, not Chuck Pepler's church or Simon's church or Peter's church. This is God's church. This is our ecclesia, as it's called. This is we are here because we've been brought together to worship the God who brought us to this place and will want us to continue to do His will. So, in Romans chapter 8, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for. Sometimes that happens regularly, doesn't it? But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's will, or for God's people, in accordance with the will of God. So when we pray, even though we may not know exactly what to pray for, we know, as according to Paul in this scripture, that the Holy Spirit will intercede on our behalf and make sure that it is in accordance with the will of God, because we want to do God's will. So, we need to pray. Somebody says, well, Okay, yeah, I pray every day. We had a great prayer group this morning for half an hour before church. But sometimes we pray amiss. So let me just review very quickly. How do we pray? How should we pray? And it's very simple. It's called, we pray using the acronym of ACTS, because prayer is an act. You read the whole book of Acts and you can see how much prayer is in there. You know that Paul the Apostle, Paul in his writings, prays 26 times in the New Testament. 26 times you can see Paul's prayer. And so prayer is made up and literally in this order. We sometimes go to the bottom of the list. We go and say, well, please, God, and you ask, and we ask a whole long list of things. Not that that's wrong. But what we're supposed to do is recognize who we are praying to, and we adore him. We show our praise, our adoration. We show our praise for his creation. We show praise the Lord. How many psalms that David and Asaph have written where it starts off with praise the Lord, because the psalms are prayers. And then the next thing, clear the barriers for God to listen to us. Confess our sins. We've done that. It was mentioned already today. We read Psalm 51. But when we pray, we praise and then we say, God, just remove the sin that is in me so that you and I can have a conversation that you will hear and listen to by your forgiveness. And then we say to God, thank you. Thank you for so much. That was mentioned in part of our prayer today by Anne as well. So we haven't even got to the asking part. We have to praise. We need to confess. We need to thank. We need to understand who are we praying to. And then, out of supplication or petition or asking, we ask, God, show us your will. Or show us what is we believe is needed. We ask for healing for certain people. We ask for relationships. We ask relief from some of our worries and our anxieties and our stresses. We ask and look for answers to decisions that need to be made that are very important in our life going forward. We should, in our supplication, be praying for others, for our leaders, for our country, but all according to God's will. So then the next question is, well, okay, is that a Sunday event? Or is this something else we do? No. It says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 7, pray continually. Pray continually. Not just on Sunday mornings. Not just when you get up out of bed in the morning. We pray throughout the day. It might be just a quick word or two. Help me find those lost keys. Remember that part, Linda? But, you know, there are different things that go on, right? We pray and God answers very quickly. But pray continually. And uppermost in our mind right now, as we pray continually, is, God, show us your will for this church. We can say that multiple times in a day or in a week. We don't have to just pray for it on a Sunday when we all get together. And when we pray continually, when we pray without ceasing, as it says, the next thing we do is we should do it with confidence. In Hebrews chapter 4, it says, let us approach God's throne of grace, which we've talked about, grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. This church is in a time of need, folks. We have, we've already stated it. I'm not going to repeat it. We need to know God's will. Because God hears us. God cares for us. And God will answer us. As it says, and this was a scripture that brought me to my knees once in a very important time. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not onto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he'll direct your paths." When we ask for God's will to be made known to us, don't use human thinking. That's what this is saying. You trust in God. And he'll direct your path. And then the next thing we do is we ask for guidance. "Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Savior. And my hope is in you all day long." So we're asking God. We've come to him in confidence. We've come and with adoration. We've come to him knowing that he will answer us and that we need to know his will. The next part of knowing his will is being willing to surrender to God. You know, many times when we say we're seeking God's will, what we're really saying is, "Okay, God, here's what I'm planning to do. Okay, God, here's what we're planning for our church. Okay, I just want you to rubber stamp it, okay, and make sure that that's right. Okay, because, you know, you're God, you can do that. So let's just, here's the plan. Now just say, okay, do it." This is not really an effective way of finding out what God's will is. Rowan Williams. I don't know if anybody knows who Rowan Williams is, but he was the 104th Archbishop of Canterbury. And he wrote a book called Tokens of Trust. And in that book, he says, prayer runs ahead of ideas. Prayer runs ahead of ideas. Nice and simple way of putting it. We need to be committed and surrender to him what is his will. In Romans 12, he says, "I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Don't conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." See, that's interesting that it says perfect. Because whatever God's will is for us as individuals, and whatever God's will is for our church, it will be perfect. And it may not be what we expect. It may not be what we want, but it will be perfect. Because this is what God's will is. But we have to come to him, as it says, surrender. A living, our minds are to be surrendered to him. A living sacrifice. I look at this. You know, if we try to do things on our own, it's like pushing rope, right? Have you ever tried to push rope? It's not easy, okay? No, let God do the pulling. Don't do the pushing, all right? That's what it's about. It's really, I got to give you an example. If you're 5'2" and you weigh 125 pounds, do you think you could play professional football in the NFL? It might be your will, but it ain't going to work, is it? As a congregation, should we be praying that we build a stadium for 2,000 people here in Mansonville to support, you know, worshipers from all around the world to come to Mansonville? And should we build that stadium and start collecting and raising the funds? I know that's a crazy example, all right? Or maybe it is. And right? We don't know what God's will is, but let's be reasonable. We put God first. What is God's will for our church here in Mansonville? I don't know the answer yet. What is God's will for our church? So one of the things that we decided at the meeting is going back to that very first point. We need to pray. As a church, we need to pray. We need to live carefully, not as unwise, but as wise people. We can't be living one type of life and exhibiting or in our hearts and exhibiting another. We need to be living wisely. We need to be good at giving examples. And we need to be able to do something that's absolutely critical, and that is to pray. Pray always. Pray without ceasing. And so we've been given gifts as individuals in this church. Each of us have different gifts that can be used. Some of them are hospitality. Some of them are being able to encourage and show love for one another. Some of our gifts are in administration. Some of them might be in teaching. Some of them are being inspired by the Holy Spirit to help the youth in other ways. Each person is given different gifts. And interestingly enough, those gifts all come together. And he's brought us all in together with these different gifts. And now here is our opportunity to say, God, show us your will on how we can use the gifts that you have given us. How are we going to do it? Starting Thursday this week, we will have prayer meetings. One in Knowlton and one here in Mansonville. Starting at 10 in the morning for those who can attend. I know people work. And so those who will work during the week and cannot attend a prayer meeting, then I encourage you to try to be here for 9:30 on a Sunday morning and pray with our prayer group. Pray for this church and know what God's will is. So I'm asking, if you can be here on Thursday in Mansonville, or if you can be in Knowlton, it will be at Peter Tatro's home, come to the prayer group and pray for God's will for our church. Pray for the vision that he sets in our minds. Pray for the resources that we need to fulfill his will. And at those prayer meetings, pray for when we are to gather again, whether it's the following week or every 2 weeks or whatever. We need to pray for this church. It's important. There are questions that need to be answered. We cannot continue and just let things go as they have been for the last few years. It's been great few years. We've had some wonderful experiences and baptisms and weddings and all kinds of wonderful things happening here. But let's be realistic. There is the gap, as I call it. And that gap is between, interestingly enough, those on my left and almost all those on my right. Okay? What is God's will? Please. I hope and pray that this message is not for me. It's from God to us and to encourage us to pray for his will. That we pray and that prayers come before ideas. So let me close in prayer. Prayer. Great God, our Father in heaven, we thank you. We adore you. We praise you. We're in adoration of your creation. But yes, we are all sinners. And no one sin is any worse than anybody else's. In your mind, we are sinners, but we can come before you and we thank you that you forgive us. We thank you for the shed blood of Jesus Christ so that our communication to you is without hindrance. And then we say thank you that we can come together, that we can assemble in this sanctuary to praise you and to pray and to fellowship and to share and be encouraged by the love of each other. And now we come and ask, show us your will. May your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.